All dressed up and knowing the flow.
No dough, no show.
Man, that's just me. That's me, man.
Sorry. Time to nut up or shut up.
Gosh, not again.
Here we go. And one, and a two, and a three. Watching Jeff's image is like watching a poorly dubbed Chinese movie. All right, here we go. Oh, shit. Hello, everyone. This is Daniel from Sequels That Should Have Been Made, one of your hosts. We are here. Quarantined like everyone else, and I'm just excited to do another episode. Let's see if we could do this. I apologize for any background noises, things like that, but we're playing with new technology here, people. It's a new time for everyone. Rob, who is pretty much right below me in the Brady Bunch squares that I'm looking at right now, and I believe Rob is driving around in his Subaru trying to find a signal, but he is on his phone. Rob, are you there, Rob? Could you hear me?
I'm here.
Please report in, Rob.
Hello?
Rob. Yes, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing well. A little afraid, but the soups is holding up good. I got a half a tank of gas. I think I can make it through it, guys. I think I can make it through it.
All right, just don't stop. If you stop, you're going to lose your connection, all right?
That's
so
what I've been told.
Go through any red lights, drive through stop signs, do what you got to do to keep it going, Rob. Because we know your car is powering your phone right now.
Yes, yes. That's the only thing keeping it going.
And then in the lower, me looking at it, the right corner is Jeff, who his image is like a very poorly dubbed Chinese movie. Jeff, how are you doing and where are you reporting from, sir?
Pretty good. I'm my dining room table here and just, you know, having a good time talking to you fellas. I didn't have to run around a bunch to try to get this to work or anything. So that's good. Easy peasy.
Well, the good thing is we don't have a cricket in the background anymore. So that's a win.
I'm sure if you listen closely, you could hear a dishwasher, though.
And then finally, our last three episodes, we didn't have the monarch. He was in Florida, flapping his Floridian wings. And on his way back is when all this shit hit the fan. And Monarch, where are you at? And are you safe?
I think I'm safe, but I don't know where I'm at. I think I might be somewhere up in Wisconsin's. I took a detour trying to get around the virus, but the virus caught up with me, and I'm like in a old fish cabin, you know, for the Ice Lake fishing, eh? But other than that, I'm doing fine.
Well, I'm pretty worried about the Monarch being in that much cold of a weather. You're not made for that type of weather, Monarch.
No, I'm not. But I'll make do with the buffalo I killed this morning and skinned it, and I'll be using that as a blanket.
I think you just killed a Wisconsin. Nice.
It could have been.
Buffalo in Wisconsin.
Very, a very hairy Wisconsin.
They're large people.
Very, you can mistake them sometime.
They say these things smell bad on the outside.
People of girth, I get it. But yeah, it's good to be back finally. I mean, it was a long trip, even a longer trip now with this COVID thing going around. But hopefully we can make light of it tonight, as long as our technology holds up, eh?
Yep. It probably won't, but hey, we're going to give it the old Harvard try. So tonight, we're going to do a very funny COVID-inspired episode. And we're going to do it on National Lampoon's COVID Vacation. Yeah, that's the name of our sequel. And some of you naysayers out there are going to say, wait a minute, there's been like 50 sequels to the Vacation movies. But the Monarch is going to explain why we believe there is no sequel to The Vacations because it's a franchise. It's not a sequel. So, Monarchy, you want to explain to the listeners why we could technically do a sequel to Vacation movies?
Yeah, so to all you naysayers out there, there was never, ever a part two in a sequel to Vacation, so therefore there was never a sequel made. It's a franchise, just different type of movies. So you have the original of going to Wally World, you have European Vacation, you have Christmas Vacation, you have Vegas Vacation. And then there's some straight to video movies, but those don't count. But so that's why it technically is not a sequel. We're just adding on to the franchise.
Ah, and that's exactly why. And looks like Jeff is drinking bourbon straight from the bottle. Yeah, so we all have, maybe the coronavirus did this to us, but we kind of forego the beer that we normally drink when we're doing the episodes, and we went straight to the hard stuff. We're all drinking bourbon this time. Maybe it's because the technology's scaring us.
Just got to ease the pain.
Just ease the pain. So, Monarch, did you happen to listen to our episodes we did when you were not available to be on?
Yeah, there was one episode that was really stood out to me, and that was
What was that one?
It kind of took a left turn, and that's probably because I wasn't there to guide this thing, was this Sir Fanny Bottom, which kind of scared
Sir Reginald Fanny Bottom.
And, you know, outside my fish cabin here, I've been hearing a lot of weird noises at night. So I'm wondering, because he said he was interested in the monarch butterfly, and I think he might have found me.
I think he is hunting you down.
You know, it's kind of weird because I was like, he said he wanted to meet the monarch, but and so that's kind of why I made that left turn up in Albuquerque to get up to Minnesota or Wisconsin, eh? And but I think he found me.
Well, in all honesty, he wouldn't disclose where his he resides, because I think he's trying to protect his aborigines that he holds in his
basement.
Gotta say
that shit right. He'll find you too.
I know.
I might actually be in his fish hut.
He is going to be he'll be appearing every once in a while on our show as an expert. Look out for him. And it's always good when the monarch gets a little scared and a little wheezy when we do something without him. It's fun to see him sweat. But Monarch, would you like to, if anyone out there has not seen any of the Vacation movies, would you like to give like a general idea of how the franchises are?
Yeah, so it's basically a very simple franchise, but a genius one. It's about a family, the Griswolds. You got Clark as the Monarch, the father. Ellen and his two children, Rusty and Audrey. And so Clark W. Griswold is kind of a goofy guy, good-hearted guy, but he is just like over the top on everything he does. He wants to do everything 100%, and it never works out for him.
He's like you're like an all-American dad kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you just know everything's going to be messed up, but it's going to be a good time. And, you know, in the first one, he has this bright idea. Let's drive from Chicago down to L.A. to Wally World. I mean, in that trip alone, he must have committed 25 crimes, from murder to second-degree murder to kidnapping to assault and battery and robbery. And he didn't get any jail time. So he just has that type of luck because he's a good-hearted, good guy.
I'm pretty sure there's an SPCA commercial based on his activities.
And in the second one, or not the second one, but the second film in the franchise, they went a trip to Europe. And they basically, again, go to Europe, Rome, London, England, France.
And Rusty doesn't he bang a German girl, a good Deutschland girl?
Yeah, and then Audrey is like obsessed with her boyfriend Johnny from Karate Kid.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was in there.
Who they left behind, and he wound up making out with some other chick, and they broke up. But then, you know, in my opinion, that's the worst film in the franchise. And then probably one of the better films is Christmas Vacation, where
that
they
was
don't
the
go
best
on
one. Best one.
Arguably. They don't go on vacation. They have a family vacation where the family comes to them and stays at their house. And, you know, you got a freaking squirrel in the house. You got the grandpa.
Got that cat.
Say grace.
Pretty sure he had 9 lives, he went through them all.
And you know, Eddie's in.
Don't
give
me that's ideas, Clark.
Thing,
I'm taking it with me next month.
Yeah, you know, and like, what does he say about his daughter? She's trying to get cured off the whiskey, off the wild turkey.
So am I. It's not working.
So, I mean, that movie is just by far great. And anytime you have Cousin Eddie in a movie, it is great. And then the fourth one in the franchise is Vegas Vacation. So they go back
my
on
favorite.
The road. They fly instead of drive and go to Vegas. You got Wayne Newton. And of course, Eddie is, you know, he has his mobile home on the freaking nuclear bomb site, you know, cooking chicken on a rock. So
I didn't like Vegas Vacation one. I thought that
was talking about my Papa
opinion.
Giorgio. Papa Giorgio.
Papa Giorgio.
Papa Giorgio.
And where do I find some damn bait? You know, I mean, just lines like that just make it a classic. So I mean, if you look back on it, just like everything in those movies, there's those one liners that you find that you just love. You know, like when she says, "My dad says I'm the best French kisser out there." You know, it's just like
that's a good one.
But real tomato ketchup, Eddie, nothing but the best, Clark. But we just want to add on. We want to take advantage of this time.
Oh yes,
this time of fright, this time of need. This time of
togetherness,
this time of
bad hairdos,
hoarding, this time of panic,
gotta get my TP.
And add one more piece of that puzzle to the franchise. And that is called National Lampoon's COVID Vacation.
Well, not yet. We haven't told him about it. That's what we're going to
do. Well,
I know,
but I'm just telling you what the name's going to be.
It's already over.
Yes.
Jeremy just combined them all.
But yes, we are going to do a vacation movie inspired by COVID-19. And it's called the National Lampoons. Hopefully they don't mind that we're using their name. I think maybe it'll just be COVID Vacation. Jeff, our idea guy, he came up with this, which I think is a genius. And hopefully when he's going to start elaborating on his plan for the sequel, then, you know, we'll put in some of our comments and ideas like we always do. But Jeff, you want to give us a rundown of National Lampoon's COVID Vacation?
Yeah, so pretty much my idea is that Clark, in the beginning, he hears about this and he's like, it's a bunch of bullshit. And he's like, you know, this isn't really going to affect me. But he gets the idea that he's going to get to spend quality time with his family, which is what he always wants and is always after.
Jeff, when we start hearing all the like coronavirus, COVID-19 coming out of Wuhan, China, and, you know, a lot of the news stations, the political leaders were playing it off. And Clark Griswold, he catches winds of this. He's like, wait a minute. It's not a big deal. It's going to be in China. But maybe I could use it to my advantage. You know, my kids are older now. They never want to stay home. And I could start using this as, hey, we have to be quarantined. And we could have game night. We could, you know, do all the cheesy stuff that that his kids never want to spend time with him anymore. So he starts scaring his family. You know, and this is like in December, before before the shit hits the fan. And he's like, oh yeah, it's going to be really bad. It's coming here. We got to stay inside. We got to wear a mask and stuff. He kind of feels guilty, but you know, when he's having fun watching movie night and how close he's getting with his family, he's like, it's worth it.
Exactly. He's really playing it up. He's saying, oh yeah, I heard, 50,000 people died over in China and, 70,000 people died here, 70,000 people died there. Oh no. So he's really playing it up to them. He's reading all these facts to them real quickly so they don't really think about it. They just know that they're going to probably die soon. So he's like getting 30,000 piece puzzles, putting them together.
But then he makes a trip to his local Costco and he sees like the people start to freak out and start buying up all the toilet paper and hand sanitizer. And he's like, holy shit. Wait a minute. Is this actually a thing? What's going on? And so, like Clark Griswold, if you watch the movies, he takes something from like a one, he takes it up to 100. And so he starts freaking out. He's like, he like leads the charge of like hoarding. Like he gathers like a bunch of people in Costco and they have their carts. And you see like the workers, they're holding hands to block people from buying all the toilet paper. And he choreographs them to charge the workers. And they hit them with their like the shopping carts and stuff. And he starts buying up toilet paper and hoarding. And he like gets in a fight with an old lady.
Kicks her over, steals the basket, goes running out of the store with it, gets chased by security, all the nine yards there.
And then, he pulls up in his car and it's just like full of toilet paper and all this shit. And Ellen, his wife, is like, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, the fucking apocalypse here. Coronavirus, gonna kill us all. And she goes, well, you told us that. And he was like, no, it's worse than I thought.
It's real. It's not fake.
Yeah. It's not a Chinese disease. It's an epidemic.
He starts boarding up his house, the windows like Night of the Living Dead and stuff.
Yeah. No, at first he starts like just digging, trying to dig a bunker, but he realizes, it's in Chicago and it's January.
The ground hasn't thawed.
Yeah, it's frozen solid. So then he goes like, forget this. And so that's when he starts boarding up the house. And true to nature, just like how he tried to get overboard with like the Christmas lights.
You see him like in the backyard with a hairdryer trying to thaw out the ground.
He's like trying all this stuff. It's not working.
Dumping gasoline on the lawn.
Lighting it.
But and their neighbors have to be there too. What's the neighbors from Christmas Vacation? They're like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Yeah. And he's like yelling at him, get out of here. We're all going to die.
He's trying to, he's lighting his lawn on fire to thaw out the ground and lights their house on fire.
And so, like, they have nowhere to go now. They can't even be quarantined because their house burnt down by Clark. And Clark, of course, he uses an excuse. Oh, they must have not changed the light bulbs or something.
I don't know, Marco.
Oh, yeah, it's Margo.
But while he's doing this, we cut to like Cousin Eddie. They're on the road in the Winnebago, and he hears about the quarantine. He's like, oh, shit. He goes, we can't survive in the Winnebago. So he like cuts a U-turn. He's headed back to Clark's house. And by the time he gets there, Clark already has his house like all boarded up. It's like zombies attacking. And you hear that doorbell ring. Ding dong. And it's Cousin Eddie and his family trying to get in. But then like Clark's like, sorry, we're quarantined. Can't let anyone in.
He treats him like the zombies in Night of the Living Dead. He's looking out the boarded window and he sees like Eddie walking in the front yard like a zombie. And you see it like he lights a freaking couch on fire and throws it out, to keep him away. A torch.
Stay back.
He lights a torch and he's like chewing him off.
There's the headlights from the Winnebago just highlighting his shadow with the fog behind him. And he's just kind of slowly stumbling up to the house, the whole family and kids.
That could be like the intro. Like we don't know it's kind of Eddie yet. And they make it look like a zombie. Like, oh, that'd be awesome. But yeah. So Clark's like refusing to let him in. He's like, Because Eddie's trying to stick his head like through the cracks in the wall, and like Clark has Pledge and spraying in his face. Get out of here! He's using like Lysol, like disinfect them. Get out of here! And so then they compromise, and Clark goes, "Hey Eddie, I'm not coming out of the house. My family's not coming to the house, but hey, you could feel free to live in the front yard or the backyard. I don't care." And then, because Eddie thinks like he like fucking scored. He was like, "Oh shit, you know, this is awesome.
Like he has a pool.
Yeah,
not a doughboy.
Yeah, he has a garden shed." He was like, Eddie's like, "Oh sweet, I'll be quarantined in this guy's backyard."
I was hoping Julia Dreyfus would make an appearance again, and it's going to end with. With him believing that they're the real spread of it in their neighborhoods, because they're like working out still and things like that, and he'll get them locked up in like a shed, and he's kind of kidnapped them and he's taking care of them, but like serial killer taking care of them, so not great.
But then also what Jeff was saying about so the neighbors, since Clark accidentally burned down their house, they have nowhere to go. And all their belongings and everything was burnt down. And so Clark, he took them in, treating them like, I don't
prisoners?
Know. Prisoners. That's the word I'm looking for. He told them, like, cause it was like right when, like, he was like, "All right, you know, since I burned your house down, you guys could, you know, I'll give you a place to stay, but for one night, and then you guys have to leave." They're like, "Okay." But during that night, the mayor of Chicago like issues an all quarantine. Everyone has to stay inside. And so now Clark's not letting them out, but they actually want to get out because they can't stand Clark. he's like holding them hostage now.
I could just imagine, like, so you got all this chaos. You got Clark, like, you know, throwing burning couches on the lawn and torches to keep Eddie away. And he's burning down his next door house. He's panicking. He's boarding up his window. Pan across the street. Normal.
Yeah.
Neighbors are on their lawn like, "What the hell is going on over there?"
This is going to get into the Burbs episode now.
Yeah. Like you see like the end of the movie, it's just like, you know, you see a burnt down house, you know, boarded up house. And then you see the neighbor like, "Oh, I'm going to Target today. You guys need anything over there?" You know, just like complete, like, you know, normal.
Normal. Like everyday society.
Yeah, every day. Just like with a mask on or something.
But I think it would also be funny if it turns out like Cousin Eddie, what he did in the backyard, made his own civilization. He has like, what Jeff said, like a whole garden of like vegetables growing. He built this majestic house like in the backyard and all this stuff. And then after the quarantine lifts, he was like, "I like the Winnebago better." Gets back in the Winnebago.
Okay, you know how he always talks about like one of his 20 kids, you know, like at the end, he's like, "Yeah, you know, my son, Eddie Jr., he was actually patient zero."
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the traveling circus, and they were performing in Wuhan, China, and he came over here for a special appearance.
He ate a bat and a pig, and
that could be his gimmick in the circus, is eating things.
Yeah, he bites heads off of bats. That's his thing. He's the one that started it all.
You know how he plays the wild man in the traveling circus, right, Clark?
It's like the movie Contagion, you know, it starts on day two, and then all of a sudden at the end of this movie here, you see day one, and it's Eddie's son, Eddie Jr., biting the head off a bat.
Yeah.
Day one.
I like that
shit. But, you know, all the vacation movies have to have some, like, Clark does something really, like, something fucking crazy, then it all works out. How could this one end?
Well, I think the CDC is breaking into his house. Maybe Donald Trump is coming in. Who knows? I mean,
it'd be like the FBI opening up his garage with, he has like a bunch of the KN95 masks in his garage, and it's the federal government taking them back.
Because he bought so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we need these for our essential workers, Clark. I was just trying to have game night with my family.
And then you see, like, you see him on the Daily Report with Donald Trump and the virus task force.
It's like Forrest Gump meeting Nixon.
Yeah. Hold on. I think Trump, Rob, could you give us what Trump, how it looked like, how Trump will introduce Clark Griswold?
This is Clark. He's one of our best Americans. Best Americans, I can tell you that. He's not from Wuhan, China. That's where he's not from. He's kindly donating 1,000 masks. I want you to come up here, say a couple of words about social distancing. That'll be amazing. Thank you.
So at the end of the day, I mean, so yeah, so like in all vacation movies, it ends well, you know, like you got the high powers saying, "We forgive you, Clark." And look at, he's on now, he's getting introduced on the task force with Trump on his daily briefings, and he's a good American. And then all of a sudden this guy
could social distance with the best of them. This guy, he took it to a next level, okay? Okay? Not like those peoples in China, okay? China doesn't know how to social distance, okay? Clark Griswold here, he could social distance. You know, he could social distance up there with me, okay? Look how far he is away from me. I think he might be a little afraid. I'm not going to lie. I'm intimidating.
Yeah, I agree. I think Clark Griswold like gives some amazing speech about the all American family, and this is a time not to be upset that you have to be quarantined. You should embrace it because it's now time everyone could spend with their family, and it's all teary eyed speech, and everyone forgives him for hoarding, stealing all the masks and stuff that led to the death of millions of essential workers. He was just trying to be a good guy. Just trying to be an all-American guy.
And then the next scene, you see the bat fluttering. You see Cousin Eddie Jr. take a bite off the head.
Day one.
The end. COVID-20 coming to a theater near you.
It wasn't working in there. It wasn't working. I can't tell you. What do you want from me? I love you. I'm sorry. This virus is taking a toll on all of us.